We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, won't be in sorrow and tears, I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do, and Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Okay, that is the great Johnny Cash, Thanksgiving Day, by proclamation in 1863. By President Abraham Lincoln, the fourth Thursday in November would be a day set aside to give thanks to our Creator for all good things. And it has been since then, a short, brief intervention in World War II. They tried to extend it. They tried to make it a little earlier in the month, but that was rescinded back to the fourth Thursday in November. It's the 25th of November, the year of our Lord, 2021. This is the Thanksgiving special of the War Room. I want to thank everybody that's going about your business and your ways today to get to family, loved ones, etc., to share this incredible day where we give thanks for everything that we've got. We've got a lot to give thanks for in this country. Got a very special show today. We have Roger Kimball from New Criterion. We have James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, Rush Limbaugh's sidekick. We also have Patrick K. O'Donnell, the great military historian. We're going to talk about 1863. We're going to talk about the two proclamations of that year, the Emancipation Proclamation and the Proclamation for Thanksgiving, the Battle of Gettysburg, everything that drove it, and what it means for us today. But we want to start with one of our favorite people and one of the top public intellectuals in our country and one of the leaders of the MAGA movement and one of the leading conservative thinkers in the country, Dr. Carol Swain. Dr. Swain, the reason I wanted to start our Thanksgiving special with you is given your deep understanding of American history, of American culture, of American institutions, to tell our audience about it. Because a lot of times in the hustle and bustle, particularly TV, of, you know, Black Friday and shopping and everything to kick off, I think people miss sometimes the deeper meaning of Thanksgiving and why that has resonated down through the decades to the American people, ma'am.
Well, I would say that Thanksgiving, as we celebrate it today, you know, across the nation, families get together, but it is so deeply intertwined with our nation's Judeo-Christian roots. And we know that in the Virginia colonies, as well as New England, it was a day of celebration for the, it was connected to the harvest. And we know that the images and photographs we have show Native Americans coming together with the colonists to celebrate the Thanksgiving, to give thanks for having reached that point, because we know that the early colonists struggled and the Native Americans came together with the colonists, and it was a day of appreciation. We also know that Thanksgiving is just deeply religious for many Americans. They give thanks to God. They pray for their families. They pray for their nation. And they take account of all the things that they've been through over the previous year and over previous years. And so it is a special day, and we should not lose sight of it. And when we think about where we are today in our nation with all the challenges that are related to the economy, inflation, and just the affordability of a turkey itself, you know, the turkey is like the central part of most people's Thanksgiving dinner. We have colonists and commentators on some networks saying that maybe you should forego the turkey this year. Maybe you should make Thanksgiving a potluck. There are people that argue that Thanksgiving, you know, it's one of those European holidays. They're trying to secularize it and separate it from the fasting, the feasting, the prayer that's been a part of who we are as Americans. And that's something we should not allow to happen.
Dr. Swain, you were on President Trump's with the commission to really think through and be able to present so that generations, our current younger generation and future generations, can have the appropriate and meaningful study of American history, given some of the radical nature of it. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because you are such an expert about the deep Judeo-Christian roots of the founding of our country, which I think gets lost a lot, particularly as society has gotten so secularized and often mocked by the left. Can you talk about that for a second? How the original, you know, whether it was the Pilgrims and Puritans coming in Massachusetts, or even many of the people that came to the original Jamestown, you know, in addition to the entrepreneurs and freebooters, how deeply religious and how deeply tied to the Judeo-Christian ethic was the founding of what at the time they believed was a New Jerusalem?
Yes, and my book, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise, goes into detail. It has a chapter on America's religious roots. And there's no way that you can deny that America was a nation that was founded by people who were deeply religious. Some of them were deists, but all of them were deeply religious. And the 13 colonies, each of them had either a charter or a constitution that referred to Christianity and to God. And if you look at, you know, the First Amendment, and people that would argue that it stands, that it demands pretty much a separation of church and state, those of us who have looked at the history know that that was not the intent of the separation of church and state, that was a more modern interpretation, but it had to do with not establishing a state religion, one religion, because many of the people who came to America came here for religious freedom, and we're losing sight of that. But we also losing sight of a lot of our freedoms, including, you know, the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship. And when it comes to the press, we have the state-owned press today, and then we have other networks and journalists fighting to be heard. And so even the freedom of the press is jeopardized in this new environment. But again, there's no way that anyone can credibly deny that America was founded as a nation by people who were deeply religious, and they wanted America to be the new Jerusalem. And so that is something that we have to stand on the truth, stand on our nation's founding, and also the fact that if you read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which many would argue is a secular a document because it doesn't mention God or Jesus, but it does say it was signed in the year of our Lord, we know that America, just about all of our laws up until recently, have been deeply guided by the biblical traditions that undergirded the founding.
If, given the struggles, I don't think people appreciate, or it's tough to appreciate the struggles. When you read the history of the Pilgrims and the Mayflower and coming here, and you read the of the Virginia colony and Roanoke Island and, you know, and the Roanoke colony, all of that, the struggles just to survive, much less thrive. Do you think it could have been accomplished if you did not have a such a deep, centered religious belief that you were here for something greater than just material gain, that you were actually here to create something that was going to be very special, given all the hardships, all the difficulties of trying to carve out a nation out of this vast wilderness?
No, I don't think so. And when you read some of the autobiographies of that era, there were so many miracles that were connected to the winning of wars, the survival of people. And so their faith played a central part in America becoming the nation that it became, the one that was the envy of the world. When we look at where we are today, we have strayed so far from where we started that we're not really the envy of the world in the same sense. And many of us who have long loved America, we see our nation today and we scarcely recognize what we have. But we have had something that was great, something that was worth fighting and dying for. And I believe that today that we need to stand up right now, that this is a moment where all Americans, they need to give thanks, but they also need to look back as far as remembrances of where we've come from and the things that the areas where America has led the rest of the world, how we became the envy of the world. And all of that is deeply related to our values and traditions, and those have religious roots, our morality. All of those things are under attack today. They're all on the line.
How would you go back to an institution like Thanksgiving? I mean, you know, the traditionalists would say, hey, this was something that showed that people, you know, the coming together the first time between the Pilgrims and the Indians or the settlers in Jamestown and the Native Americans was to give thanks of peace treaties or cooperation. Whereas people on the left say, no, this is the beginning of genocide, that this is this is cultural appropriation, etc. We got a minute. We want to hold you over to the next segment. How do you help people think through how they actually should go back and look at history and study history?
Well, you know, every time great things happen in history, there are always people that are trying to, that have ulterior motives, and they are trying to twist things to serve their own agendas. And so we shouldn't be surprised that at key moments in American history, there were people that acted in ways that were ungodly in the religious sense. And even if we go back to slavery, we know that it started with people being indentured servants, and then greed led to permanent slavery for blacks. And then for a period of time, if a slave converted to Christianity, they were set free. And then greed took hold again, and they stopped releasing slaves that converted to Christianity. So when you look back at history, you have to realize that you're dealing with deeply flawed men and women. And these people are deeply flawed, just like we are. And so every time we have great moments where we come together, we do the right thing. And I believe that the first Thanksgiving and the celebrations, that these were genuine fellowship between people who were different, and that those things were positive, but then later you get people's greed, their motivations, their agendas that distort everything. So you have to look at the historical context and realize that we are human beings, we're deeply flawed, and we need government, but we need government that has integrity.
Yeah. Dr. Swain, just hang on for 1 second. Short commercial break. We'll be back in a moment.
You have homeowners insurance for a good reason, a very good reason, because without it, a fire, flood, or burglary could destroy you financially. But there's another major crime your homeowner's policy doesn't cover. It's called home title fraud. The FBI calls title fraud one of the fastest growing crimes, and it can ruin you financially, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Title fraud happens when a criminal forges your signature on documents stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out a loan against your home and leaves you with the payments. You'll spend a fortune in legal fees trying to prove you didn't commit fraud. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone, from a cyber thief to a renter to a relative trying to forge their way into your home's title, they help shut it down. Let me repeat that. They help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And enter radio, R-A-D-I-O, enter radio for 30 days of free protection. That's code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Let me give you that again. Code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Get this protection and get it today. Friends, it's about to get ugly out there. Are you prepared for the worst whenever it happens? If you've been watching the show, you know the bad stuff can happen at any moment. Now, what should you do about it? Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get the emergency supplies and food you'll need for what's to come. Being prepared does not mean you're paranoid or fearful. I want to repeat that. Being prepared does not mean you're paranoid or fearful. It means you're smart. You got to get ahead of it. At MyPatriotSupply.com, you'll find emergency survival gear, bug-out camping equipment, water purifiers, cooking and heating products, you name it. Get the essential items you'll need for being self-reliant. Let me repeat that. Get the essential items you'll need for being self-reliant when a disaster strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com has served millions of American families. They have over 46,000 four-star and five-star reviews from customers just like you. Get what you need before it's too late. That means now. Supplies are quickly selling out because of the surge in demand and the logistics problems throughout the country. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today before time runs out. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, they got the emergency and the survival gear, the bug-out camping gear, the water purifiers, cooking, heating, food, all of it. Every product you need, they've got. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year. To join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Okay, welcome back to our this Thanksgiving special in the War Room. It's the 25th of November, the year of our Lord, 2021, and we're joined now by Dr. Carol Swain. Dr. Swain, your story is amazing to rise to the level of being one of the top public intellectuals in our country and obviously one of the leaders of this, the whole MAGA movement, and has been appointed by President Trump to many commissions to help us think through our history and to present our history as it should be studied by generations to come. Can you walk us through your story briefly and your memories of Thanksgiving?
Well, first of all, I have so much to be thankful for because I am a person that God clearly lifted up. When I think about how I was born and raised, I was one of 12 children, born and raised in rural poverty. We all dropped out of school after the eighth grade, married at 16, had my first child at 17. By the time I was 21, I had three small children. I ended up getting a high school equivalency. Went to a community college, got the first of 5 degrees, became a university professor, early tenured at Princeton, national prizes, cited by the U.S. Supreme Court, and I've enjoyed the success of America, but the most important thing was my journey, my spiritual journey, I became a devout Christian believer, and I can see the hand of God on my life. And my story is an American story. It's not a Black story. It is an American story about our possibilities. And I have so much to be thankful for. I love this nation. I love all of its people. And it deeply grieves me when I see the state of our country today. But I do believe that it's not that I believe. I know that God is in control. So I know that God is in control. And I know that there are millions of Americans who love God, who love our traditions, who love our nation. And I believe that if we remember who we are and where we came from, and we stand together, I believe we can overcome this moment in our history when it seems so dark in ways that we never imagined.
Dr. Swain, before you go, could you, since we're such an action-oriented audience and show, even on Thanksgiving, what would be your recommendation? What's the first things you would recommend to this audience to use their agency, their human agency, to do? What would you recommend is the first order of priorities that you believe?
Well, first of all, don't take anything for granted. Don't assume that the America that you grew up in, the America that you knew, that it will continue. And I believe that America, if it follows the direction it's going now, that we could actually see ourselves fall to another nation like China or Russia or North Korea. And I think that we are teetering on the edge of a precipice. And so for Americans, now is the time to take action. Prayer and fasting, that's always appropriate. And that's a part of Thanksgiving. But then after you pray and you fast, you take action. And the action has to be more than just registering to vote. I think that all of us have influence in certain spheres. We have to have courage. We have to have backbones and spines. We have to be like the founders who are willing to risk, you know, their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. We have to be willing to give up something for future generations and even for our own generation. So take nothing for granted and remember our religious traditions and remember God is in control, but he gives us the government we deserve. And right now, I kind of think that we deserve, some of us deserve this government that we have, but it's not God's best. God has a better system. And I'm not advocating a theocratic society where we try to make America a Christian nation. God is a God of free will. And so we don't force our values on other people. But at the same time, if our Constitution means anything, if our way of life means anything, if our ability to influence the world means anything, now is the time to take action. So eat your turkey and then tomorrow get to work.
Dr. Swain, how do people get to you on social media?
Well, my website is bethepeoplenews.com. I'm on Facebook at Dr. Carol M. Swain, Twitter, Getter, Parler, Gab. And you can also email me at carolmswain.com. And I have a nonprofit, Be the People Nonprofit. Instead of We the People, it's Be the People. It's about educating people about conservative values and principles. And this is the time where people need to be educated about our nation, about its roots, and about what we can do to make a difference in our own sphere.
Dr. Carol Swain, thank you very much for joining us on our Thanksgiving special.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to go now to James Golden. James, you were able to hear Dr. Swain. Can you give me some observations and analysis, sir?
Dr. Swain represents an awakening for a lot of people that maybe come from unexpected. People don't expect to hear the messages that Dr. Swain is giving, the call to activism, the call to action, and also a very detailed look at our history. And when you look at her background, where she came from and how she got to be where she is. The story of American achievement. Now, that story is a story that many of us, regardless of whether our whether we come from a minority background or whether whatever we come from, that is the promise of America, that you can raise yourself in your generation and achieve to excellence and become excellence. And Dr. Swain has proven that that is entirely possible. Still, the American dream is possible.
Tell us about your American dream. You were Rush's sidekick for 30 years. We've got a couple minutes in this segment. Walk us through the James Golden story.
James Golden came from Queens, New York. I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood, two-parent family, which was common back then. And my parents, my father was a World War II and Korean War veteran who at the time was in a segregated army that didn't treat him properly, but he loved this country and he treated America properly. My father loved this country. My mother loved this country and have the values that they raised me with, which are conservative values. And that is, by the way, not uncommon to most people in this country. That's what America was about. The same, we shared the same values, hard work, the belief that you could make of your life what you choose to make of your life. Those are things that were common, and those are things that we have to restore instead of this hate for America. I started in radio. My cousin came to New York. I went to a radio station, 14 years old, fell in love with radio. And all these years later, I've had a chance to work with the most amazing people, both in music and talk radio, culminating with Rush Limbaugh, who was the greatest there ever was in radio, and have had a very successful career at what I do. But America is still the land where all of this can happen. We can never give up on this country. This country is the light of the world.
Let me ask you, coming from Queens back in those days, a two-parent family said that, yes, I came from a two-parent family. Queens, with the public housing and all of it, that was really the testbed, not just Queens, but the greater New York City area, Manhattan. That was the testbed of a lot of the social engineering. And look what we have today, James. What caused that? When it seemed like people were making progress, you had conservative families, you had family units, traditional families. What happened in New York City?
The Great Society. What happened to America in the so-called Great Society, where Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats turned to welfare as a way of life, destroyed the black family structure in much of the country, destroyed American values in much of the country, the belief that the government could be Santa Claus and spend its way out of poverty, that the government could impact socially. All you got to do is just build tall buildings and throw people in there and they'll be okay. And so much more that was destructive. We still now, over 50 years later, are fighting back on that great society that ruined so many lives and so many generations of Americans. And you look at where the cities were not then, before the Great Society, and where America's blue cities are now, spiraling out of control with crime. They don't educate America's children and prepare them for the future. They are high tax havens for those politicians who wish to spend other people's money. They don't deliver the goods and services. It's a disgrace what Democrats, starting with Lyndon Johnson, have done to this country.
What did your parents, we got about a minute before we break, what did your parents think when all this was coming down, given that they had a traditional family and were raising good young men like yourself?
They were Democrats. They believed a lot of this stuff in terms of social policy, and it hadn't been done before, and they believed it because, of course, we came all out of the Kennedy assassination, and then you had the Democrats hijack the civil rights movement, and at the time, America needed that. We were a country that was still unjust from a legal standpoint. The civil rights movement, some of it was very necessary, so my parents bought into it. But what I don't think that they realized, along with tens of millions of other people, what they were also sacrificing some of their own beliefs in order to embrace this Democrat Party. And we haven't recovered from it as a nation.
James, you hang on. We'll take a short break. We'll return with James Golden. His new book is Radio with Rush. Rush on the Radio. It is already a massive hit. Book you're not going to want to put down when you get it. We're going to take a short break. Be back with James Golden in a moment.
This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Okay, John Yarmuth is the head of the Budget Committee for the Democrats in the House. Guess what he did today? He announced his retirement. You know why? he's one of the guys responsible for this fiasco up here of $5 trillion of additional spending over the $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion deficit we're going to run on an annual basis. Long story short, we're about to add $45 trillion of debt to the balance sheet of the United States. You know what that means for you? It means it's time for you to get out of your kind of sleep and to wake up and understand that you've got to now take action to look at every available store of value, because they're going to crush the United States dollar. The way you do that is text. You got to go to Birch Gold. AAA rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're the guys to go to start to understand precious metals as an alternative. How do you get there? It's simple. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. That is Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the number 484848. It's no obligation. You're not committed to anything. You get a 20-page brochure that starts it off. Then you can talk to Philip Patrick and all the great team at Birch Gold. Remember, the United States government, not you, is on a death struggle with the U.S. dollar. It's now time for you to start thinking about your financial alternatives. One of them you have to consider is precious metals, gold and silver. Go to the folks at Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. Take action. Use your agency. Hey, look, let me be frank. I can't get going in the morning until I get jacked up on some coffee. And I've got coffee now that I absolutely love. It's from Minuteman, Minuteman Coffee. This is a company you're going to love. It's a coffee you're going to love. It's bold, not bitter. It's smooth but unique, particularly if you like dark roast, medium roast. If you like these types of roasts, they roast it by the batch. It's all handcrafted. So go to Minuteman Coffee today. At checkout, type in War Room. You get 15% off your first order. They also have a subscription plan that you can manage on your own. But one thing I can tell you, try Minuteman Coffee. We're very proud to partner with these guys. They support the first responders. They support constitutional sheriffs, veterans, the military, our servicemen and women, charities all over the place, particularly to back our vets and to back first responders. So go. You want some good coffee? No, you want some great coffee. Go to Minuteman Coffee. Do it today.
We've come to the time in the season.
Okay, welcome back to War Room. It's our special Thanksgiving. We've got James Golden. We're a little pressed for time here. James, the book is Rush on the Radio. You were a.k.a. Bo Snerdly for many, many decades. Talk to us about the great Rush Limbaugh, the Thanksgiving shows you guys would put on. How would you think it through? Tell us about that.
But this story of the real Thanksgiving to America. And the real Thanksgiving story is a clash between socialism and capitalism. The first attempts to settle in America failed because it was collectivist under William Bradford. When they turned to giving each of the pilgrims their own individual stake in prosperity, that's when the colony succeeded. It is a clash that goes on to this day, Steve. And Rush enlightened Americans as to what that the nature of our first Thanksgiving was really all about. And it was amazing. Of course, also in Thanksgiving marked the beginning of the Christmas season, which Rush loved. You know, Steve, thank you for asking, because this year my heart is a little heavy, because I just remember last year, this time, Rush was telling us that he felt like Lou Gehrig, that he was the luckiest man in America. While he told us repeatedly that this was a terminal illness that he had, and he was kind of laying the groundwork that he wasn't going to be here this year for it. But how grateful I am that we had Rush Limbaugh to enlighten us in this country for over 30 years, and that he never stopped giving his best. And now there are so many people, I talked to so many people, even families where three generations of that family listened and loved Rush, and are still spreading the message that Rush Limbaugh gave all of us. It's amazing.
Real quickly, give us the first Thanksgiving again, his story about Bradford. You got 2 minutes, just give us that.
Yes, Bradford tried, at first they tried a collectivist approach to farming and agriculture to help the colony succeed. It failed miserably. people were lazy. They didn't want to, they didn't see the value in working for a collective. When after that attempt failed, Bradford turned to give each member of the group their own individual plots that they could work as they chose, whether they wanted to invest in it heavily or not. Those that actually invested prospered. And that was the initial class in American history of socialism, which fails, over capitalism and individual achievement, which succeeds. It is a clash that is still going on, but that was the essence of the Pilgrims surviving and thriving and enabling the first Thanksgiving in America.
What was the first year that you guys did that? What do you remember the first year? How long ago
it
was that?
Because I remember this. Right after his first book, because he wrote about it in his first book, The Way Things Ought to Be, and then he decided he would read the story on the air. And so that's how it happened.
And it, I take it was electrifying at the time with the callers and the people blown in?
Absolutely.
Look, I know you've got to bounce. One more time, how can people not just get the book? Do you have any... it's Thanksgiving Day. We got a big holiday weekend coming up. The book's already a big hit, Rush on the Radio. You're going to want to get this book, and you're also going to want to get it as a gift for anybody that loved Rush Limbaugh. Tell us, what do you have coming up as appearances? I understand you're doing major media starting over the weekend and next week. How can people look forward to seeing you?
Well, this is major appearance right here with Steve Bannon on War. Your show is so popular, Stephen. Thank you. And then I'm coming up on Tucker Carlson. And thank you, Sean Hannity's show as well. So thank you, Steve.
And by the way, our audience loves you. The WABC show is every day at 4 p.m., correct? You follow Rudy? You're on 4 p.m. live?
Yes.
And how they get to you? How they get to you in social media?
They can get Bo Snerdly at Twitter, or they can also reach me, jamesgolden.com.
James, thank you for taking the time. I know you're pressed for time. And by the way, thank you for writing the book. Anybody that wants to really know about Rush Limbaugh has got to get this book. It's 30 years. You were his sideman. So thank you very much for joining us here in the War Room.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. We're going to have, this is our Thanksgiving special. What we do every year at this time is we try to do two things. We try to go back and talk about the original Thanksgiving, and particularly how it's been misinterpreted so much by modern historians as they talk about the genocide of the Pilgrims and the genocide that what happened in the colonies, but really talk about what happened the first Thanksgiving, how it's culturally important. This year we're taking a slightly different take. We're going to start with one of the things we want to talk about in depth is Abraham Lincoln in 1863. The Thanksgiving we know today came about by a proclamation. That proclamation was identified and put forward or promulgated on October 3rd, 1863. This was after the Battle of Gettysburg, and it was before President Lincoln went up to Gettysburg to consecrate and open the National Military Cemetery that's right there on the battlefield. He gave that talk, I think it was November 19th. He had been invited up there to say some remarks, and he felt that the nation needed to give thanks, so he designated the fourth week and the fourth Thursday in November. We're going to have Patrick K. O'Donnell on with myself later to go into it, but I think it's very important, particularly where we are today. You heard Carol Swain, you heard James Golden. You know, right now people are saying, oh, you know, it's so unsettled. The times are so difficult. You know, we've lost the country. No, we have not lost the country. And people have been in this situation before in this country where they think things have spun out of control. They think that things have gone to a way that is taking it away from what the America was. And time again, it's been pulled back by the direct action of people. Okay, the direct action of people, and that's the entire what we do on the show. The show is set up to, and by the way, we're grateful every day we do this show. We give thanks every day we can do the show, and the show is set up very simply to give you information, to be able to promulgate ideas, and to put forward thinkers, and to give you access to books, to newsmakers, to websites, so you can get as much information as possible, so you can make your own decisions, but most importantly, use your own agency. If you go back and look at the history of all this, starting from the original pilgrims and the colonists, the entrepreneurs really in Jamestown, the odds against them were so long. The odds against success were incredibly, the house was against them terribly. They had to have this ability to understand that they had a mission greater than themselves, but to be able to translate that into human action, to use their agency. And everything we do here is to be able to make sure that we can promulgate that, to make sure that we can give you the ideas, the concepts, the structures, the nomenclature, to talk to you about the statics and dynamics of process, that you can separate process from event, that you can learn critical path. And so that's what we do every day here. And particularly when we do these specials. We do the specials over Christmas. We do the specials at Thanksgiving. We do the specials for Veterans Day and Memorial Day. We try to pull the camera back and to make sure that there's a greater purpose. There's a greater subtext to all this. And the hustle and bustle of the day, that when you're actually doing your action, that you understand that there's something here that is deeper. And that's what we call when the original pilgrims came here. If you read their history, you read Bradford, you know, Bradford, Rush is absolutely correct. They had this collectivist mentality. It was when they kind of broke it down and people had their more of their the marketability and the more of the individual self-reliance and initiative. In addition, they thought they had a greater purpose. They thought this was the New Jerusalem. Even the colonists in Jamestown thought this was a New Jerusalem. Although some of them in Jamestown were there for the quick strike of gold, right? Or the quick buck that you can come from being an entrepreneur. People realized they had a deeper purpose, that this could be the New Jerusalem. And that's why all the 13 original colonies, many of those colonies were for the freedom of religion, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Maryland, were set up as basically essentially religious colonies. And this is what attracted people. This is what attracted the Puritans and the Pilgrims to come over here and do and to really build out the Massachusetts Bay Colony. There's a great book, I think it's Kevin Phillips, called The Cousins' War, that walks through this kind of dynamic in American history between the entrepreneurs in the South and what they felt their task and purpose was, and the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the more religious, I guess the more strictly religious that came to the Massachusetts Bay Colony, all the way from the English Civil War that came here and really was the substrate of the abolitionists and the slave owners down the South, particularly in South Carolina, that separated out the two great kind of drives in American history of what they thought their driving purpose was, and all the way to the Civil War and even the breaks you have today. So what we try to accomplish here, what we try to do, and this we're going to have Roger Kimball join us next, we're going to have Patrick K. O'Donnell after that, is to basically give you access to those ideas, give you access to that information. Here we kind of go by the old Hollywood concept of show, don't tell. We're not here to really sit here and tell you, hey, bang, 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 but to give you access to that information and to give you access to that knowledge, right? So you can make the decision yourself. Okay, we've got a great Johnny Cash song. Let's go ahead. We're going to go out with Johnny Cash. We've got Roger Kimball is coming up from New Criterion. We got Roger Kimball from New Criterion. We've got Patrick K. O'Donnell, the great combat historian, who's going to join us momentarily. We're going to go out. Johnny Cash, this is a song we dug up out of the past. I don't think it gets enough play. It's Johnny Cash's famous, very famous song called The Thanksgiving Song. It's from very simple. It's one of the reasons we're so attracted to it. So if Denver can play it, we'll go out with the Thanksgiving song. We're going to be back in a moment with Roger Kimball from New Criterion.
When family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue In your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train. The moonrise over a prairie. And oh, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord he made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord he made you. And when the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord he made you. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord he made you.
I was recently introduced to one of the coolest gun products that I've seen in a long time and wanted to share it with you immediately. It's called the iTarget Pro, and it allows you to dry fire practice with your actual firearm in the comfort, safety, and privacy of your own home. In other words, without old Joe looking over your shoulder. With the cost of ammo through the roof, this gives law-abiding gun owners a better way to train regularly. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Let me repeat that. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Just download the iTarget's proprietary app, load the laser bullet into your firearm, and start your training experience. Dry fire training will help develop muscle memory, sharpen target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. iTarget Pro comes in all the major calibers, including for your AR, so you can stay sharp with almost any firearm. Go to iTargetPro.com right now and save 10% plus. Get the free shipping with the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. That is the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in one day. Let me repeat that. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in just one day. That's the letter iTargetPro, iTargetPro.com, iTargetPro.com, offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Once again, iTargetPro.com, offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Use your agency, take action, action, action. Do it today.
We've come to the time in the season when family.
Okay, welcome
and
back. It's Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving special. It's Thursday, the 25th of November, year of our Lord 2021. I want to thank you for joining us. It's very special. We've had Dr. Carol Swain. We've had James Golden, now Roger Kimball, the editor of New Criterion, also the head publisher of Encounter Books and one of the top public intellectuals in our country. I want to thank our sponsor, MyPillow.com. Make sure you go to MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. We have sales across the board on virtually everything. Just make sure you go to our square, MyPillow.com. I'll get into more of it in the second hour of the show. Roger, I've always followed your Thanksgiving writings and all the different sites that you publish on for many, many years. Give us your sense of where we are, sir, as a country in a Thanksgiving of 2021.
Well, Steve, I think I can't really do better than read you a tweet from something called Women's March. I think this came out last night. Quote, "We apologize deeply for the email that was sent yesterday. 1492 was our average donation amount this week. It was an oversight on our part not to make the connection to a year of colonization, conquest, and genocide for indigenous people, especially before Thanksgiving." that is one strand of where we are in Thanksgiving 2021. In other words, it's a complete repudiation of that essential emotional tie with the past and investment in the present and future, namely gratitude. This Women's March group has completely repudiated who they are and who we are. It seems to me to be a kind of attack on the very idea of gratitude, an attack on the idea of Thanksgiving. So I was listening to you earlier. I think you're quite right that we've gone through a lot of hard times in this country. It seems to me that we're approximately in 1857 now, if you want to compare it with what was going on in the 19th century. That is to say, the hour is late. But you're also quite right that it is not irredeemable. But if it's going to be redeemed, we have to be willing to face up to what is going on now. And what is going on is the attempt to take over the country by a small but deeply entrenched and very powerful group of ideologues who, in the name of a higher virtue, or to quote James Comey, a higher loyalty, are willing to trample roughshod over the rights of the ordinary people. And that's exactly what this group, the Women's March, did with that preposterous and indeed obscene tweet.
Let me, I got to ask you about this. That was not Babylon Bee or The Onion. That was actually, they did this legitimately.
I thought it was first The Onion. But I regret to say that we live in an age when the line between satire and obscenity has been erased. What would Juvenal, what would Jonathan Swift, what would Eva Lenoir do today? You cannot think of anything that is so preposterous that it hasn't already been done. Now, I have not actually looked deeply into this, but I'm pretty sure that it's I won't say that it's legit. It's certainly not serious, but it's in earnest. You can be sure that it's in earnest.
Well, the Women's March is a very powerful group. When it talk, go through the litany, the genocide, the colonization. We got a couple of minutes in this block. We're going to bring you back to the next. Walk us through. What's it through the original sins? They say of 1492 of the founding by the New World of the New World.
$1.92 last week. It was their average donation, and it was their oversight not to make the connection between this sum of money, 1492, and these other things. This, in a year of colonization, conquest, and genocide for indigenous people, especially before Thanksgiving. Now, I mean, if there's one group in America who should be deeply, deeply, deeply grateful for the Pilgrims, it's the Indians. Where would they be today without the Europeans? I mean, you know, they'd still be squatting in their long houses, slaughtering each other, and living a sort of subsistence existence. They should be deeply grateful. Now, it is true. It is true that the reservation system is, in my opinion, a bad thing. They should be integrated into the rest of the society. That's a separate discussion. But as far as indigenous people go, you're, I think, indigenous. I'm indigenous. I was born in Shaker Heights outside of Cleveland, Ohio. There's no more Native American spot than that. That's why I write down Native American on all those forms that you're required to fill out to prove your demographic reality. But, you know, what this tweet, this tiny little tweet represents is the tip of a very long spear that is designed to destroy us. And it destroys us because it aims to destroy us because they believe that they have a highway to virtue, to a kind of higher virtue, that we, the ordinary people, are not privileged enough to cotton onto. And you see this throughout society today. I mean, why is it that Donald Trump was such a divisive figure? Now, you know, I mean, he's aesthetically maybe not everyone's idea of the ideal statesman, but his real tort was to have been elected without the permission of the elites and over their sustained objections. How could this person who is not part of the club become president of the United States. It was insupportable. And I believe that, moving on from Thanksgiving, that January 6th of last year, this year, last January 6th, was part and parcel of that eruption of irritation and hatred with the fact that the people had spoken. They didn't say what the elites wanted to hear, so it had to be rejected, and rejected it was.
I tell you, Roger, just hang on. Roger from the New Criterion, from Encounter Books. We're going to take a short commercial break. The long march through the institutions will continue when we return in the war room.
For blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator. Now when Thanksgiving is due, and this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.